Let's take a look once again. So we've been studying about Psalm 4, 5, and 6. And then I'll just mention a bit about 7 today. We were talking about the whole idea of righteousness. And then how the psalmist end up with self-righteousness. And then last week we studied about how he really learned that he was actually very weak before God. And, you know, he learned to have a contrite, a broken and contrite spirit. Okay, and then when we come to Psalm 7, we're not going to study it today, but basically Psalm 7 is about a prayer of vindication. Okay, where he is able to see everything in his right perspective, and his focus is no longer about his self-righteousness, but God as judge. And there are three levels where we can see God as, rather the idea of judge. Well, there's the local judge. You know, and then within the country, there are local judges, and then of course there's the king, then of course there's God. But most of the time when we talk about God as judge, it's always major events. So does not really apply to us beyond a certain level. So we're not going to study Psalm 7, but we're going to move on to another series of Psalms, and this time we're going to study 14, 15, and 16. We're going to study them together. Okay? And how to see it. Very often, I think a lot of you like Psalm 16, right? Beautiful Psalm, isn't it? We appreciate. But, do you know what's the context? See, a lot of times we only see Psalm 16 by itself, but you actually must see it from the standpoint of Psalm 14 and 15. Okay, and Psalm 14 is pretty much a theology of evil, of wickedness. Psalm 15 is reference to righteousness. And Psalm 16, which we will come to, it's actually an application of 14 and 15. You follow? You see? How do you want to be able to see 14, 15, and 16? Right? So 16 should not be studied by itself. Okay? You got to see the context. And the context is 14. It's about evil, about wickedness. And we will study it. But even before that, we will look at bits and pieces before 14. Okay, so in Psalm 4, 5, 6, even 10, 11, 12, we have glimpses of evil and wickedness. Okay, and Psalm 14 is a summary of what has been stated already. Okay, very interesting, isn't it? You want to see in that light. So it's never just a psalm that to be studied by itself. You have to see it from the flow of thought, because there are times when David repeats himself, and as he repeats, you see the way he's crafting out or formulating his theology of righteousness and wickedness. He's seeing the wicked in a certain way. Okay, and that's what we're going to study. Again, sounds interesting, right? And then you see, okay, how does the wicked actually operate? How do they go about doing things? What is behind the scene in terms of why they do what they do, right? Why is there such wickedness? And a lot of times, there are things that are there. Okay, for example, this our poor minister, of course, you know, who had to step down. And of course, he did something that's not in the best of his interest. We don't know exactly what he did, but that this lady who is very vindictive, right? A lady who went after him and really gave him a hard time. Maybe he did he was wrong, but you can see that this woman is very vindictive. She's upset, right? And she did everything she could to bring him down. vengeance is mine, that kind of approach. Right? You can see how the way she's going about doing it. And you know what? She can write. She don't care about how she feels. She just writes all the way to the PM, and the PM, wow. That's it. Right? So you can see behind that, even though we don't know who this woman is, we can see the, in some ways, the evil behind it, the vengeance that she wants to bring upon this minister. Right? Hell has no fury, then a woman's gone. Right? Okay, I have to be really careful because all women here and one man. Right. But that's it. You know, that's what's been happening, and that's the buzz that you hear in the news today. And that's how evil works. That's how wickedness works. Right? A person doesn't care about the family, how they will suffer. She wants to make him suffer. She wants to make everybody associated with him to suffer. That's evil. Can you see that? Okay? Now, let's go to... let's take a look at this. Let's turn to Psalm. Let's turn to a few Psalm. Okay? Now, we studied 4, 5, 6. Now, in verse 14 of 7, we read, "Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble." In his mind, he's thinking, how I'm going to create trouble? Right? And I'm sure this woman has been thinking about it. She is very clear. Okay, you know what? This is how I want to approach it. I'm going to bring him down no matter what. Can you see? And, you know, then he goes on to say, "He conceives trouble, brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out." Ah, so he sets a trap. Can you see, you know, how evil works? First, he thinks, right? And then he speaks falsehood. He will, so to, in some ways, I'm sure this woman embellished things. Some of it is true, some of it is embellished, I'm sure, right? And then she sets a trap. Made a pig, dug it. But you know, one of the things that can happen is that one of the things that you'll see again and again is that the wicked sets a trap and they will fall into their own trap. Can you see that? Okay? "His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violence dealing shall come upon his own crown." Okay, in other words, what is this principle? You set a trap on someone, you fall into your own trap. You have violence dealing, right? Violence will return to you. What's that? What goes, huh? Yeah, what's that? What's the principle? Huh? Sorry? Karma, no, it cannot be karma. How can you say it's karma? We are not Buddhist or Hindu. I knew one of you would say that. Okay, but in reality, there's some truth in it. Okay, in other words, what goes around? So karma actually is just a person's observation of a truth from the scriptures. That's it. Right? What goes around comes around. In other words, you reap what you sow. You sow vengeance, you reap vengeance. Can you see that? Okay? And so, Beth, you're right to some extent. This is a law of karma, okay? But please don't quote me, okay? That I teach law of karma. Okay? So, very important for us to understand. These are what we call observations. And actually, Buddhism is basically just an observations of life. Okay? It's a philosophy of suffering. That's it. Okay? And it's very important for us to understand this. Okay, now let's move on to the next thing where we read... okay? Now, let's read further. Now, we go on to chapter 10. Sorry, Psalm 10. Hi. Psalm 10 and... in verse, okay, now this is very important. Psalm 10, in verse 2, it says, the wicked in his pride. Now, what I've done in this notes is that I've done it in terms of, with reference to the poor, how they treat the poor. With reference to other wicked men, wow, they blesses the greedy. With reference to himself, themselves, what are they? Well, they are full of pride. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in their plots which they have devised. You see, the same idea. You devise a plot, you know, the prayer is, you know, they will fall into their own plot. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy. Can you see? It's all about themselves. They have a proud countenance. The wicked in his proud countenance. He says to himself, verse 6, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. So no trouble will come upon them. Right? They speak proud thing. Okay, 12, verse 3. All flattering lips. They like to flatter each other. Okay, the tongue speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. In other words, they can use words and we will prevail. We will do what we want. If you want to bring someone down, you know what? My words will prevail. See how wicked, how the wickedness works. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, you know, nobody can control what I want to say. I have a right to say it. Okay, the wicked prowl on every side, vileness is exalted. Now, with reference to God, verse 3. In verse 3, we read how chapter 10, verse 3, how they renounce God. The wicked does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. He does not consider God at all. And to him, there is no God. So in other words, a lot of times these people are atheists. They really don't believe in God at all. They feel that they are not answerable to God. So after a while, everything becomes subjective. Right? People in the world, basically, after a while, if there's no God in their life, they do whatever they want. They lie, they cheat. If they can get away with it, they will do it. Why? Because they feel that they are not answerable to God. Can you see? He speaks in his heart. 10 verse 11. Okay? He says, God has forgotten. He has hide his face. He will never see. Now, take note of that. He will never see. And that's one of the things about the wicked. They really feel that God doesn't see. Okay, let me show you my... So, to them, God does not see. Right? God does not see. God is not omniscient. God is not there at all. And in other words, they can get away with whatever they want to do. Okay? He hides his face. He has sin in his heart. He does not need to be accountable to God. Verse 13. 10 and in verse 13, we read, why do the wicked renounce God? Again, he said in his heart, you will not require an account. Wow. I don't need to make an account for my life. I can do whatever I want. See, that's how wickedness works. Why is it that people are wicked? Why is it that people, you know, they feel that they can get away with whatever they want to do? Right? And along the way, you see people doing whatever they want to do. Okay, today I was just, the other day, was it today or yesterday, I was reading a newspaper about this China woman with, I think, a Singaporean man, and the Singaporean man has, you know, basically is very lazy, doesn't, and she's been working really hard, and one day she came home, she was so fed up, and she took a kitchen knife and stabbed him. And he died. Right? And the judge was saying, you know, although it is the circumstances she was in is not good, the man is to be blamed to some extent, and yet because she did that act, she is answerable. Can you see that? And you, why is it that she would stab a person like that? See, at the end of the day, that's how anger. That's why one of the things that in Psalm 4 we dealt with, be angry and do not sin. A lot of times people end up with anger. They do things out of anger. And of course, this lady did what she did out of anger. Right? She answerable? Well, she's answerable to God. At the end of the day. Okay? Now we go on. Okay, any questions you want to ask? You all following me? Yeah, let's stop for a while. Do you have any questions you want to ask? About the wicked, about evil. Yeah, so where's the mic?
Thanks, Pastor Mitch. So I just wanted to ask if, not that I see myself in these attributes, but that I wanted to ask if that this, whether or not this evil is also present in us, in yes. that we have iniquity, and it's the same idea that there's wickedness.
So this is what we call unbridled evil. Okay? There's no control. You got to understand during that time, you know, the people, the king, they had judges, but, you know, there were warlords and you know, fighting was very much a part of their lives, going to war, right? And there were a lot of people during then who did whatever they wanted. And they will kill. They will take advantage of the poor. They will murder the poor, right? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Look, the wicked, verse 2. Look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string. They may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And so on. The wicked one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals. Of course, this is the Lord's judgment. Okay, so he would. So the wicked will always want to take advantage of people, kill the poor, take their land, and so on. Okay? And that's something that we see with reference to the wicked. So, is it something that we are capable of? My answer is yes, if we are not careful. If we allow anger to take the better of us. If we become so frustrated with a person. If we become so angry with a person. I'm sure many of us at one point of time, there are moments we feel like strangling the person, this person who created so much difficulties and problems for you, and you feel like, oh, you know, but you, okay, because you are from Bethany, you got to, you know, just restrain, and you understand that, okay, this is not the right thing to do. If not, you go to jail, right? But in your heart, there's murder, there's, oh, you know, it's a lot of anger. Yes, to such an extent. But, if along the way, in a moment of weakness. So for this lady, this China lady who ultimately killed the so-called husband, they have two children and then killed the husband. Or her children, she brought her children over. It's a moment of weakness. Right, I don't think she intended it. It's just that she was so upset and angry. It's not premeditated, or maybe it is, we don't know. But it can happen to us if we are not careful. Evil lurks within us, right? I mean, the Bible tells us that the human heart is deceitful. is desperately wicked. Our default mode is actually wickedness, evil. It's just that partly because we are brought up in Singapore, things are a bit different, we are a bit more restrained, we are a fine nation, right? So everything is fine. So along the way, we become fine because of all the fines, right? And then we learn how to live within certain limits. Okay? It's part of our brain. So in other words, we are conditioned in a certain way. Okay? But inside us, we realize that we cannot control beyond a certain level if we do not have the Lord in our life. You take away the Lord, all hell breaks loose. Right? And along the way, you see people do whatever they want. Right? What's that book about the boys going, you know, being stranded on an island? Huh? Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies. Right? And here is two groups, and along the way, they killed someone. Yeah, they killed one of the boys. Left to their resources, that is what can happen. And then after that, when the adults came, everything back to normal. So the challenge is, yes, we are capable of much evil if we are not careful. If we do not have a regenerated life, if we do not have the Lord in our life. So I walk with the Lord every day. Okay, does that answer your question still? Right, your question is, are we capable of much evil?
Yeah, I think where I was coming from was that, like when you raise up the examples of the wife and the minister, from my seat here, I'm like, okay, yeah, they're very evil. Like these are, and where David is also, it seems like, outside, the world is very evil, but I think I was just trying to, I'll correct what I said just now. So I said that I didn't see those attributes in myself, but I do see them, like, that the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God, and God is in none of his thoughts. And I think I also just, like, sitting here, like, very comfortable, not thinking that I'm the evil one, but, I mean, not the evil one, but that this is not applicable to me, but actually,
pride, yeah, right? At the end of the day, it's still pride, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? It's pride that stops us from seeking God. It's pride that causes us. So, of course, this is with reference to wicked people, evil. And yet, as we study them, that's why it's good to study. Because then you recognize, actually, I'm not too far from what they are. And that's scary. You're not far. Right? That we can be capable of such things. So they always say there's a thin line. You know, a thin line. My suggestion is get away from that line. Make the line big, you know. Put a lot of warning signs. So our lift, right? There is you the new lift. Have you all gone into it? Have you all tried? You all should go just for the fun of it. Huh? Yeah, lah. So that's why you got to follow instruction. So there were four boys who went to try. They went to try it. And then the sign there says, bottom part that says, do not go beyond or something. Like, keep off the, do not touch the glass or something, right? Yeah, so you're not supposed to put your hand out and touch the glass because there's a sensor and then straight away you'll stop. Then our four friends, our four heroes, sat there and one of them say, I shall go and try. You see, that's the evil in us. He went away and put his hand there, the thing got stuck, boo, then four of them got stuck there. Don't know what to do. We had to go and call the people from the lift. Yeah, the people and to come down and to reset the thing. After that, I went to the boy, I call him a boy, to say, I look at him and
I'm sorry, Pastor Lee. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I almost want to scold him. Why must you go in? You see, that's the evil within us. That's the us, you see. Down there, it says, keep away from the thing. Direct, I told the lead people, you better go and put some sign there. You're going to take a look later. Right? Okay? Anyway, we got to go down at 40 for birthday celebration. So we got to go down. Right? But anyway, so there's a line there, and then it says, do not touch the wall or the glass. Right? And that's us. You still in touch. My goodness. Okay? Now, let's go on to Psalm 14. We better move on. Right? Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll just take our time. No hurry, okay? 14, 15. So, we got the next few weeks to study. So, we won't hurry. Okay, go ahead.
Pastor, following for what we talked about earlier, I was thinking of, like, you were saying, like, oh, I hope this wouldn't be I was thinking of how to define the word wicked in that sense.
Wickedness.
Yeah, like because you were saying by default, like all of us, like evil is born within us.
Yes.
And the fact that's like...
Within us meaning we are capable of much evil.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we will actually do it.
Correct. So then the thing is, just now we have examples of like husband and wife, like unfortunate events.
Yeah.
Where things were a little bit haywire.
Yeah.
And then I think that along the way we also mentioned like, oh, we may not do it, but we may have like difficult situations where we thought of scenarios. Like sometimes in that sense I was thinking like, you know, does that mean acting it out? Wickedness means the action itself, or like just by thinking it already falls into wickedness.
If we want to define it in terms of a sin, mm-mm, the thought itself is already wrong. Mm. Okay? The thought itself. I mean, so that's from Matthew, right? Matthew 5, mm-hmm, you all know, right? The Lord Jesus was explaining, it's not because you do the act of committing adultery, but just to think of it, it's already a sin. Right? So that's... So in 5 and in verse 28, but if I say to you, whoever looks at the woman, lusts for her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Right? So that's why we always talk about, actually every day when you do one sin, you do 3 sins. Or rather, in thought, in mind, in heart, in action. Right? So every day, most probably you will do 3 sins already. In thought, in heart, in action.
So in that sense, when we relook at this or approach this topic, so to say, like, are we, like, would we say we are the wicked, or like, how do we approach it? Like, do we?
Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, you are not wicked people, are you? Maybe one of you serial killer come to church, but actually you are a serial killer, which will be very scary. Right, I don't think so. I think we are not so-called wicked people, as in we intend to rob from the poor. We want to persecute them. We want to take away their money and so on. I don't think that's us. But as we study about them, we realize that there are sins in our life. That if we are not careful, we can end up with some form of wickedness. That's where I'm coming from. And of course, at the end of the day, how should we respond to the idea of wickedness? And that's what Psalm 14 has in mind. Right? Part of it is, how do you respond when you see such wickedness?
Yeah, I think that clarifies.
Okay? Yeah. Ken? Okay, any other questions? Ask. Whatever question you ask, just go ahead and ask. Can you all see? Right, okay, let's move on to 14 for a while, and then you can raise up some more. And so in Psalm 14, we read, So at the back, at the end of it, if I were to summarize all the wickedness, and of course, the Lord will bring about judgment upon them. Now, if we will summarize all the wickedness that David had written in his earlier Psalms, we will see it in Psalm 14, right? We see the foolishness of the wicked. They are fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So what you see behind this is people who are foolish, the foolishness of the wicked. The fool said in his heart, you know what? There's no living God. I'm on my own. I am answerable to myself. I'm not answerable to anyone. I can do whatever I want. That is so foolish. Right? He does not need to be accountable to God. There is no God. They are corrupt. Right? So here is a group of fools. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Right? Abominable works. The first time I learned the word abominable is the abominable snowman. Years ago. Right? I don't know where that came from, but that's where I learned the word abominable snowman. Right? What is abominable? What is abominable? Define the word. Beth, define the word abominable. Okay. Absolutely. See, so when a person is not answerable to God, he is capable of great evil. Right? He can kill people. He can do things that are wrong. And mind you, David is not innocent also. He has killed people. He's a man of blood. He's a man, that's why he was not allowed to build the temple of God, because God said that he is a man of blood. Okay? And there's this thing called bloodlust. Okay? Once you start killing people, you find that it's actually fun to kill someone. And there's this lust to kill. Can you see that? Saul told him, you know, you want to marry my daughter? The gift to me is you got to go and kill 100 Philistines. He wanted their foreskin. Yeah, that's horrible. Instead of giving 100, he gave 200. Why? Why do you need to do that? You see, that's him. So for David, he had a bloodlust problem. And that's sin. That's wickedness. You understand? It's actually within a person. If we are not careful, we can end up doing abominable works. There is none who does good. So here we see fools. They are corrupt within their actions. Are without abominable works, none does good. And here is an atheist. Rejection of God, denial of God. Right? There's total ignorance. He does not consider God at all. Okay? And then we go on to the next part where we read the Lord's omniscience. Now, on one hand, they say, God does not see. But now the psalmist says, the Lord looks down from heaven. You see the contrast? The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand. See, on the part of the wicked is that they are ignorant. They don't understand. But God is looking for people, excuse me, who will understand. Who seeks God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. Notice the word corrupt is mentioned a second time. There is none who does evil. No, not one. So the Lord looks down from heaven. He looks upon the children of men. And you know what? He does not see anyone who does good. In other words, all men are sinful. That's what is meant. Every person is sinful. There's no such thing as a person who is not sinful. We all sin. A lot of people come to me and say, oh, but you know, here is a man, he's very nice. You know, I meet this neighbor, he's a very righteous man. Every week I see him. But you know, the neighbor only sees him like 1 hour in a week. Right, there is the rest of the 24, 23 hours and many days that you don't see him. What does he do? You don't know. So actually, no matter how good a person is, he is still sinful. There's this bus driver, 102, from where I take from my house to Bangkok MRT. He is the nicest bus driver anywhere in the world. The moment you step on the bus, he will say, good morning, good evening. Every single person, he will greet. And one day, when I was crossing the road, going home from the bus stop, and I was walking, and then 102 came, and he was in the bus. And he looked, and I was at the middle aisle, and he waved at me. He waved at me, and I waved back. Oh, well, I really made my day, man. Then he can recognize me, and he was so nice. But is he a sinner? Yes. I only see him few seconds. You know, every other day is nice. Maybe because he wants to win an award, that's why he's so nice. Right? Or he wants an increase in his pay. You don't know. You don't know what his intention. I mean, at the end of the day, he is still sinful. All of us are sinful. And that's important for us to understand, right? There is none. So his collective conclusion is that there is no one good. Okay? 4 to 5, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? You see, at the end of the day, why is it that people are wicked? Why is it that people end up with so much sin? It's because they are ignorant. There is such spiritual ignorance. They don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand morality. They don't understand there's a God that we have to be accountable to. There's no knowledge of God. There's no knowledge of truth, good and evil, beyond a certain level. Right? Jonas went to the city of Nineveh. Right? And they were Assyrians. Okay? And you know what the Assyrians do as soldiers? They flay you. You know, it's flay you, not? How many of you don't like to eat chicken skin? You don't like chicken skin, right? So you tear all the skin out, right? Yeah, that's what they do to human beings. They tear all their skin. It's called flaying. They hung the fellow. They will strip the person of his skin. You know how horrible that is? How painful that is. That's why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Because he felt these people deserve to die. But God said, go. I get my will to swallow you up, spit you out, and you better go. Okay, I better go. So he went to preach. And the moment he preached, the people repented. And he was so angry. Huh? I didn't preach my best and they repented. My goodness. And they all repented. And so he was sitting there, you know, grumpy, waiting for God to strike the city. And it was very hot. It was very hot. And then God, okay, you know, came out with a plan, covered him. Okay, comforted. Then God sent a worm. Go and kill the plant, and the plant withered. Then you see, very funny. God very humorous at times. And our poor friend, you see, can't you care for these people? You care more about a plant than you care about human beings. And then he said, these people do not know what is good and evil. They don't know. Ignorance. On one hand, we should have compassion on them, and yet God is going to judge them. if they continue in their ignorance, who eat up my people as they eat bread. You see? Do not call on the Lord. There they are in great fear. So at the end of the day, they all live in great fear. So how do we want to respond? Okay, any questions you want to ask? How do we see this? Now, let's go on to 14, and we want to talk about a few things. One, that God sees. Okay? That no matter what, at the end of the day, God sees all things. Okay? God sees. God is omniscient. There's nothing that escapes Him. God sees all things. Okay, and I think it's so important for us to begin that God sees all things. Two, God, so this is God's relationship with the righteous. God stands with the righteous, so there's God's presence. God stands with the righteous. There are those who live righteously, then they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. God is refuge. God is our refuge. You see, so in the midst of wickedness, in the midst of what we all go, okay, say for example, you have a boss. Now, maybe all your bosses are nice, but one day you get a boss who is really nasty, who's giving you a really hard time. You know, this person is just nasty, right? What do you do? Run away? Yeah, okay, you can say, God sees. Strike him. Kill him. Send lightning. Then you'll be no better than the two disciples of the Lord Jesus when they went to a Samaritan village and they asked Jesus to send lightning, fire from heaven and burn everybody. No. At the end of the day, we want to find God as your refuge. Right? God is your sanctuary. God as your shelter. God as a place where you can hide from the problems and all the difficulties of the world. And I like this idea of refuge. I find God as my refuge every morning. In my small study room, I pray, I read, I memorize the Word of God. And you know what? I find my refuge in Him. That's why I walk with Him. Why? Because that's my refuge. You know, it's my hiding place. It's a place where I meet with God. It's called the Sanctum Sanctorum. It's a place where I meet with the Holy One. He is my refuge. And I find that I find comfort, I find peace, I find stillness, I find a very special sense of joy away from all the problems and difficulties of life. Sure, the wicked may thrive for a while. There are some who are really, really nasty. And yet, at the same time, God is there to be with us. So God is refuge, right? God is there for the psalmist. God is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, Israel rejoice in these things, right? At the end of the day, you know, God is our Savior. Our hope is in God. There will be times of war, but you know what? God will bring back those who are captives. He can bring about salvation, deliverance. So there's a strong sense of hope. Two things you need in life when you're going through problems. One, you got to find God. First, above all things, God has to be your refuge. If you are trying to find hope without God as your refuge, you're doing it wrong. You must find God as your refuge first. Then along the way, you find hope to carry on. You cannot carry on and just have hope. Okay, I have hope, hope, hope. I trust, trust, trust. But God is not your refuge. You're doing it wrong. First things first. God must be your refuge. Your trysting place. the place where you meet with God. And no one can touch it. That's what I have every day. And because I have that, I find hope to carry on. This week was rather challenging. There was so much going on. And then I have a bit of a microplasma thing where, you know, some infection along the way of the lungs. But then my back hurts. I don't know why. So it was been a rather challenging week. But then sometimes I get up, you know, at night. Well, after that, pain, cannot sleep. But then that's where you learn how to find God as your refuge every day. And you find the strength to carry on. You find, okay, well, this weekend I got 4 messages to give. Right? After this, I got to speak at CAT class. You know, CAT class, youth worship. Right? And many things to be done. And yet, can we trust God? Can we find God as a refuge? Can we find hope? Yes, absolutely. That's how you survive the week, every week. So without God as your refuge, it'll be very hard. I tell you first. Number one thing, find God as your refuge. Right? Psalm 46, is it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Is it 46? Right, 46, right? Yeah, be still and know that I'm God. So first things first, God is your refuge, right? Okay, Psalm 9. Years ago, I wrote to Pastor from this verse. Now that I know the context, I think I was wrong in sending him. But nevertheless, I still send him this verse. In Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So I sent him this verse to encourage him. But I realized the word oppressed is not stress. It's oppressed means the wicked is oppressing you. You see the context? So, salah, my context. Anyway, he said he was very encouraged by it. I take it. Okay, he was encouraged. Good. But that's the idea of refuge, you see. That's what we all need. Okay? Ken? Yeah. Jamie?
Actually, I have a question. Like, why do you say Psalm 14 is the theology of evil?
Because he summarizes everything. He summarizes what he's been talking about.
Okay, just curious, because there's like other parts of the Bible. That
yeah, so the other parts are all the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But as you look at the bits and pieces, he's repeating some of them, right? Especially he uses falsehood and so on. Then he comes to the conclusion in 14, where he says, you know what? Nobody is good. Everybody's evil. Everybody has sinned. Can you see that? He is summarizing what he has been saying. Right? All have turned aside. They are all corrupt. They do abominable works. So basically, all their works, he considers them as abominable. Right? None of them does good. They all corrupt. They say there is no God. Yeah, and that's mentioned many times. There's no God. There's no God. God hides himself. So basically, he's just summarizing everything. You follow? One statement, actually, there's a lot of things behind it. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's why I say the bits and pieces. So earlier chapters, earlier Psalms, bits and pieces, and then when you come to 14, he encapsulates everything. He concludes, he tells you, you know what? At the end of the day, there are these wicked people, they are corrupt, and they have done abominable works, there is none who does good. And God looks down upon them. They're all corrupt. No knowledge of it. They eat up my people. That's what they're doing. Right? They do not call upon the Lord. And yet they will live in great fear. What's the result? They will live in great fear. Great fear of judgment, great fear because they don't know what is ahead. The unknown. And the unknown is very scary. Now in Singapore, you know, the world is very scary. Donald Trump come out with 15% tariffs on Singapore. What is this? You know what? Everybody's going to suffer because of that.
You understand? So it's basically a summary. Right? So next week we study 15. You see again, it's a summary. And 16 is, okay, how do you apply it? So with the backing of 14, 15, you apply 15. Yeah, sorry, 16. Okay? Okay, we'll come back to it again. We got to go down now for birthday celebration. Okay? Okay? So don't dilly-dally. We got to go down quickly. Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that even as we study your word, that we can have a theology of evil and wickedness in the world. And sometimes, Lord, when we look at that, we also see glimpses of ourselves, how we can be capable of sin and evil and wickedness as well. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to constantly seek, Lord, to walk with you. Help us to always find you as our refuge as we face the challenges, even evil that man may bring upon us. We just want to pray that you will bless us and guide us. And as we give this offering to you, may you bless it, Lord, for your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.